This technology is very beneficial for entities and institutions that have a lot of people to train, that train a lot of people per year. We have a couple of requests from multiple universities that they want to start using our content for their educational use cases.
Why is it always just pictures and a lot of schematics? You know, we have good 3D softwares. Why can't we have it more interactive?
For startups, financing and having enough runway, cash runway, is very, very difficult.
Who's using it right now?
This kind of use case, it's in the training centers, aerospace companies, airlines. The SpaceX Falcon 9. So we designed that and also the rocket and all the stages.
How do you land these projects?
If I make it big like this, right, you can actually
go inside.
Yeah, you can go inside.
Yeah, I can see all internal devices.
So the 3D models that we make, they're actually very lightweight. They're optimized for augmented reality users.
Camera crew, I wish you would see whatever I see.
All right, so today me and my crew traveled to Sharjah, and we are in Sharjah Research, Technology and Innovation Park. Beautiful facility, what are we doing here? Well, today we're gonna meet a startup based here, startup that works with AR technology. And this is really good timing right now since Apple launched the Vision Pro headset. And now finally the vibe and everything, all the communication on social media is not about only AI, it's also about AR. So yeah, I'm gonna try to figure out where the AR technology stands right now. What is the actual use? Is it for the consumers or for the business cases? And we're gonna speak with AR engineering team and figure out. I'm really looking forward to find out and test that technology. Let's check it out.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm good.
Welcome, Ivan. Welcome to our research center.
Pleasure.
This is where our startup AR engineering is located.
All right.
In Sharjah Open Innovation Lab, in Sharjah Research Park.
Nice.
So basically, as you can see, it's quite a different, unique space than other traditional research centers you might see or maker spaces. It's very diverse.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been based here ever since the establishment of the place, and we do a lot of cool stuff.
Yeah.
And,
I have to admit that this is first time I'm here. Well, I heard a lot about this place, you know, I saw on the social.
Yeah.
And it looks cool, like so many devices and gadgets.
Yes, indeed, yeah. I mean, and the cool thing about it is very active. You know, like if you're going to base yourself like in traditional buildings, right, it's just office spaces and you know, you go upstairs, the elevator, maybe a coffee shop downstairs. But here it's actually pretty active.
Yeah.
You meet people from other startups.
Yeah.
People that are doing R&D, different type of stuff. You know, you got people that are 3D printing, doing things in metalwork.
Okay. I think we need to admit that today is a Saturday.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Because it's empty.
Chill.
I do believe like Monday to Friday it's busier.
Yeah. It's during the week, like there's always things going. Mm-hmm. And even sometimes in the weekend, because what's cool about this place is that it's situated in the middle of a big academic city. And you've got big universities around here with a lot of students and thousands. So they also do a lot of things that can educate the young guys in various
areas. They come here, you support them, working together.
So it's very active. And that's one of the beautiful things about here. So I remember like when we were looking for example, interns to work with us in certain time frames within the summertime, especially. We've got really direct access to the colleges and universities. So we can get some of the best talent.
Access to the talent,
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, universities like here, like American University of Sharjah, University of Sharjah, they got really talented individuals.
All right, it's a nice ecosystem.
Yeah, very good.
All right, AR engineering.
Yeah.
What is it that? What do you guys do?
Yeah. So from the name, AR means augmented reality.
Okay.
So augmented reality engineering. We visualize the things. So mainly focus on engineering. And that's how we started basically roughly almost three years and 8 months ago. We visualize the engineering systems. Most of them are represented in a 2D way, schematics in the books. So I remember, for example, in aerospace engineering, we have a very big book and it's all pictures and text.
Yeah.
So that was the beginning.
Well, that's your university time.
Exactly. And that was like, okay, why is it always just pictures and a lot of schematics? You know, we have good 3D softwares, we've got 3D models. Why can't we have it more interactive?
Mm-hmm.
And that was the concept of how AR engineering started. It was like,
all right.
Yeah. So let's try to make things more immersive, more engaging, more visual, especially complex systems like that.
So this idea came for you from your university time?
Yeah, college time.
College time.
And then it turned into a business idea when I was watching one of Apple's events.
All right.
So during college, that's when I faced the problems and issues, when I noticed that a lot of things we're studying was not visual enough.
Mm-hmm.
But during, because I love to read a lot and watch a lot of cool stuff, so I always try to read about the latest tech and watch everything as soon as they're
What's
announced.
What's new in the market?
So that was roughly, I think, almost, yeah, so roughly, so November 2019. Before that, in a couple of months, I was watching one of Apple's events. Typically, it happens in the summer, WWDC of Apple.
Like this keynote, so.
Yeah, and they were announcing that, you know, the new iPads and iPhones are going to support them. You know, augmented reality. And then they announced later on that, you know, the iPads will have LiDAR scanners and stuff like that. So that's when I was like, okay, so now the devices in our iPads and iPhones,
yeah,
now they're gonna have augmented reality supported built in. And then I saw some of the demos they were doing for some small play games and real estate stuff. I was like, okay, can we visualize our engineering systems that I've been studying all this time?
That's clicked for you, yeah?
Yeah, and then that's when I made the connections. Like, okay, so now we reach a level where the devices we're carrying with us are actually pretty powerful to do so. Back in 2019, was November. So in our research center, this is Sharjah Research Park, and then you have one of the floors, there's a startup accelerator called Sharjah.
Mm-hmm.
So Sharjah, what they do...
Yeah, I know Sharjah.
Yeah,
yeah. Is quite,
yeah, so in Sharjah, yeah, basically, so... People come with ideas, and they help them turn that idea into a business plan. So in November 2019, at AUS, that's when our idea was, I pitched it to the guys there.
So you guys joined like Incubator or something?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That was the first one we joined, Sharjah. And then they helped us that time to turn that idea into a business plan.
I believe it's not easy to come now to any institution. Look, that's the book, that's boring.
Yeah.
Let me show the new way. I think it's a lot of traction. Like,
yes. Especially that it's... when I tried to focus at the beginning to really like kind of upgrade the methodology of visualizing our educational content at colleges, but with time we found out that there is that takes time and you need to be patient, because the education system, it's really built on some very solid infrastructure based on curriculums, things that are tested by ministries,
programs and
programs
approved, yeah.
You know, you got different types of programs, but in the B2B sector, which we'll also talk about, that's where things move faster. Especially in the businesses, because those guys, if they see an ROI when they're going to leverage such a technology, they're going to adopt it.
Yeah.
So that's the B2B difference.
B2B sector maybe adapts easy. You know what?
Yeah.
Easy to what helps to convince?
Yeah.
Show it.
Let's do it, man.
Show it the magic. Yeah.
Yeah. So basically, you have a mixed reality headset. So this is called Microsoft HoloLens, and basically, what's cool about it is that it's very lightweight and also it's transparent.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't really block your view. So when you wear it, you can see everything. You can read even books and text, and you can see the holograms drop on the table.
Basically, content projected on real life environment.
Yeah. So this is mixed reality, and also because of its cameras that it has, it can also in the LiDAR scanners, it can track your hand as well. So it will see your fingers if you want to grab something. Yeah, and I'll teach you how to use it as well.
Now all the hype, Apple Vision Pro, is it something similar?
So the Apple version is pretty cool. It's basically a screen. It's a 4K screen for each eye. That's what they released. It's actually pretty close to this one, not in terms of quality, but in terms of concept.
Mm-hmm.
So as you can see, this is transparent, right? Fully transparent.
Yeah.
You can...
There's no screen, basically.
No screen, yeah. Of course, there's a screen inside, but a transparent one. But the Apple one is closer to this. Basically, this is the HTC XR Elite.
HTC, okay.
Yeah, so it's just got released in the market a couple of months ago. And they released it, and then the Apple immediately after.
Oh, really?
Released theirs. And then before that, in a couple of weeks, Meta Quest 3 got announced as well.
So all the players now jumping on.
Yeah, but the interesting thing is that how they kind of anticipated that Apple was going to announce the thing in WWDC. So immediately they went and announced theirs before that in a couple of weeks and so on.
All right, yeah.
So it was pretty interesting to see the race. But if you look at, for example, what HTC has done, it's very similar to what Quest 3 is proposing and what the Quest Pro also. Basically, as you can see here, it's just glass. It's just like I say, you have a place where your eyes look into a screen.
So for me, it looks like virtual reality glasses.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, but the difference is here is that you have a camera here, and this camera opens up and gives you a pass-through feeling.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So you can see the other side, and then you can see the whole ground.
So basically,
well,
it films and applies.
Yes, exactly.
The content.
Yeah. So
instead of these ones, they're not filming. You can see.
Yeah,
clearly.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. So you're just seeing through the glass, but this you're going to see through a camera. From what I've seen from the Apple Meta Pro, the width is awesome in terms of this, how wide it is, the quality, how crisp the pass through is. So let's see. I hope it's going to be really awesome like this.
So they're using camera as well?
Yeah, they're using camera as well. But you know, at the end, it's not just if you put a camera. It's also how well the software is, right? Because there's a lot of very complex computational power that goes behind it.
So right now in the market, Apple is not released.
Yeah, beginning of next year.
Who's leading? Which one you guys using? Or it depends on the situation.
So in the professional sector, especially in the B2B side, you got the Microsoft HoloLens. For sure, like almost everybody in the mixed reality space that you ask, they're going to tell you the Microsoft HoloLens.
I think I tried as well HoloLens, but I think it was different. Yeah,
the older version? HoloLens 1, most probably.
So this is?
Yeah, this is 2.
2, okay.
Yeah. So basically, with the Microsoft HoloLens, it's been around for a very long time, the HoloLens, and basically, they built the hardware. It also comes with a lot of their software support. Mm. For example, you know, it supports a lot of the Windows softwares, you know, for like Power BI. You know, you want to load up documents, Word documents, all that stuff. Azure, for example, whatever services you want to use. So they came with a good ecosystem, you know, behind it and their own software. So this is why a lot of developers really were able to convert their applications and also they opened up support for Unity. So that's an overview about the technology and the hardware and how things have been going on.
I'm excited. You know, you present the technology. I wanna see how everything looks.
So we'll turn it on and we'll try it together.
All right.
So we got it working now. So basically, Mohammed has set up for you glasses which you're gonna wear.
Mohammed. So Evan, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too.
So basically, what we do right now, me and Mohammed, we're connected. So whatever I'm seeing, he's seeing as well. Mm-hmm. So as you can see on the table, back in the screen, we've got 2 Formula One cars. This is a project that we actually did for McLaren as well. But it's not in the engineering side, it was for the marketing use case. But it's pretty cool to compare the old type of Formula One car, like the I think it was a Mohammed 2021 model, was it?
Yes.
Yeah, and then the new one, which is the 2020.
They put together and maybe...
Exactly, and so you can compare. And we try to make it very crisp and nice and beautiful in terms of colors and design. So even the guys, the students in college can actually see the difference between them and learn. Because in aerospace, we actually, because in Formula One car, there's a lot of winglets and wings and downforce. So there's a lot of synergies between that and aerospace.
You know what's cool? Yeah. Like you're wearing these glasses and you're like freely communicating with me. And you know, I see your eyes as well.
And what's cool about it, you can even like just lift it up like this.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. So if you want to do something or whatever and put it down.
Just like check it, yeah.
Yeah. So it's pretty comfortable. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, and I can see everything freely. So yeah, so you can try yours now.
All right. Mm-hmm. I start seeing.
Is it loose or is it good?
No, that's good. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You can see everything.
I can see. Yeah.
Yeah. So basically, how you interact here.
So you see same?
Yeah, I'm seeing the exact same thing.
Both,
in fact, look at me.
Oh, it even put the avatar on you.
Exactly.
Kind of.
Yeah. So we can know where both of us are. So if you want to grab stuff, right? Let's say I want to move this.
So you can do that virtually. Let's say, can I be in?
Good point. Yes, you can. You could be in anywhere in
that's
the world.
That's why avatar is for.
Yes.
Oh, exactly. Pointing fingers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you can see my hands.
Man, I was gonna play like a kid, you know. You're gonna see my reaction.
Yeah, you can see my. Yeah, it's pretty awesome actually.
Yeah.
For example, yesterday Mohammed was in his house, right? And I was in my place, and then we're just playing around.
So you can discuss the same project.
Yeah, exactly. And the cool thing about it is that we can even grab stuff. See, this is the car. I made it smaller, right? Mm. And here it is. You can grab it.
Okay.
Yeah, with 2 fingers. You see?
So you see my hands?
Yes, I can see your hands, yeah.
Because I see my own hands. Yeah.
And I just gave you the card.
Yeah, you came. Yeah. Wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
So you guys can see on the screen, yeah?
Yeah, and we got also recording, so you guys can see it as well later. Yeah.
All right, so I wanna rotate.
Yeah, you can play around with it.
Okay, I want to see inside. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I see
You can actually make it big. You want to have some fun?
Yeah? Of course.
All right, let's grab this one. Okay, I'll grab this, right? The one I have, right? I'm going to take it here. Let's make it almost full scale.
Ah, wow, okay.
All right, now let's put it on the ground. We're lucky that we have a big space here in the soil lab. Yeah, that we can drop a full Formula One car on the ground.
That changed totally feeling.
Yeah, can you see it now?
Yeah.
Look how big it is?
So I can walk around, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. You can even go see the seat and so on.
It is amazing.
Yeah.
So, okay, talk me through the usage. Okay, this project usage, you said it was about marketing to compare the two F1 bolids.
Yeah, they wanted a 3D model, augmented reality model for the thing, for their car. We just helped them with doing the work, because in our company, we're pretty good at doing 3D modeling work, optimization, rendering. So you
developed a model as well.
Yeah, of course, they help us out with a lot of the engineering drawings, but they're heavy, so we need to make them lightweight.
Well, so, look, it's not that heavy because I can lift
it. Yeah, exactly. I mean, they're heavy in terms of data. Yeah,
exactly.
The raw data, yeah. Okay, now this is not a real size of a car.
No, that's too big.
Is too big. Yeah, I don't think a car this size is going to go around the truck.
It's because I'm not...
Yeah, pretty easily, yeah.
If you can fix it.
It's all good, yeah. All right. I think this is...
All right, so you don't even touch, yeah? You kind of...
from far away. So if you look at it, so you have these rays that are like, I don't know what they call them, rays or like laser things.
Yeah, I see like a laser.
Yeah.
Ah, okay, a exactly, pinpoint. Yeah. I don't need to walk.
Exactly. Point them on the thing and then you can just spread it out.
Guys,
Camera
crew, I wish you would see whatever I see. And for me, next level. Imagine you guys shooting with me the same.
Yeah.
Oh, that's mad.
Yeah, so, and as well, we got to record it from your headset. So let's see, hopefully the footage is going to turn out to be good.
All right, can I try to put back on the table? And obviously, once you play a little bit, I think it just becomes such a natural movement.
Yeah.
Because now whatever I do is so clumsy.
Exactly. So see, now I switched the scene. So we've got different models here.
All right.
So in the aerospace sector, for example. So what we have here are pieces of wings, right? So the guys in college, especially when I was studying aerospace engineering, this is very, very good for us.
So this is what
part? It's a slotted wing. So mm-hmm. it's a part of a aircraft wing. It's a section of it.
Mm-hmm.
So this is called a slotted wing, and this is called a plane flap.
You know what? For the position, I do believe, for the camera guys, let me know if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
It would be better if we stand here so you see the screen and... Yeah? Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you can grab it.
Yeah. What are you going to grab now? The aircraft?
No, the wing.
Grab whatever you want. You can choose.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Well, love it.
You got the 747 now.
So tell me, well, that's actually your project?
So, for example, let's say I'm an instructor and you're a student, right?
Yeah.
I can bring a 777 right here, all right? And then, for example, I can bring a 787, Boeing 787 right here, put it next to each other, right? And then I can explain to you the difference in design, for example. And whatever, like I can, for example, take, you know...
You're going through the settings.
Yeah, then, for example, I can draw here.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I can you know, show you the different type of the wing design.
So how did you do that? That's so cool.
Yeah, so we got a tool set, and then you got a pen, and then you can like draw. So this is something cool that you can do in mixed reality, right? And you can put arrows and annotate. So this is something cool. So yeah. But this aircraft is in a small size, but we can make it bigger, right? And also, by the way, I can cut this aircraft down, by the way. For example, we can clip it. We can edit the clip.
Mm-hmm.
So now you see, I took a part of the wing, right?
Oh yeah, you're trimming.
Yes, and in engineering, this is actually pretty useful in aerospace engineering, because we want to, we actually learn this. They tell us, okay, see the wing design, how it looks like, you know, how it's curved. So they can explain the concept of how the top area have lower air pressure and so on, and all those differences. So that's one of something cool, right? Mm-hmm. In real life, we how much does it cost us to actually go and clip a wing of a 777, right?
So now this, whatever we can call tool or software, is in use?
Yes, so this one, we give it to the educational institutions, right? And also training centers as well, because this what we're having right now, we're having cool conversation, right? And I'm showing you things that is very hard to even show in this space. there's no way I can bring a 777 in this scale and just play around with it this way.
If I would have such a thing in my university, it just would flip upside down my experience, honestly. To see that, and my brain's playing a trick on me. I'm like, no, it's real. It feels that I'm going to touch a new scale and slice.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, this can be with bigger aircrafts, but to be honest, the limit is like the sky's the limit with us. I mean, it could be from small objects they want to make a big scale, and to big systems they want to scale down as well. So, So whenever new helicopters come in, new aircrafts, new engineering systems, our universities and our colleges and our workshops, they do not get upgraded that fast. Right?
Yeah.
So this is where the skills gap and knowledge gap happens between the industry. So with this technology, you can actually bring the latest and of systems in aerospace, and you can bring it to the classroom right away. And this is one of the most modern aircrafts. And what's cool about it is that it's so detailed, you can even look at it, the internal components of it. So if I make it big like this, you can
go inside.
Yeah, you can go inside. Yeah.
Oh, I can.
Yeah, you can go inside.
Okay. Yeah, okay. I can see all
internal
devices.
So yeah, so this is a example of how you can use this.
So look, 2019.
Yeah.
You like okay, I want to get in the field.
Yeah.
And now, when did you guys develop this project?
This one's very recent. So right now, what we're doing this year, especially this summer, we have a couple of requests from multiple universities that they want to start using our content. For their educational use cases.
Mm-hmm.
So we started to organize various categories of libraries, helicopters, airplanes, wings, engineering systems. We got mechanical engineering, electrical engineering. And then we started organizing that in the library and then giving that to them so they can start to use it and practice within their curriculums and try to see, okay, where does that fit? Okay, I'm teaching mechanical engineering. I can use this system in this class. So now we're giving them access to our library. It took us a long time to actually finish it up. Quite a vast number of engineering systems. Now we reach a level where it's actually mature and it's very accessible as well. So this is the stage that we're at right now. So these systems that you saw and the other ones that we have, for example, what I showed you right here is the mixed reality version. Nevertheless, sometimes you need a very simple form of access. So, for example, let's say, is it the only way that I need to wear the glasses to experience engineering systems? The answer is no. And as I told you in WWDC, when they announced it, they showcased the iPad
with LiDAR technology.
Yeah, with LiDAR. Exactly. So, for example, here what we have, and it's actually even streamed on the screen. So we have a CFM56-7B.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of our most famous projects till this day because it's in terms of engineering accuracy, it's very, very accurate.
Okay, so I'm looking, this is engine.
Yeah, this is a Boeing 737 engine, and also the A320 also uses it. The CFM56-7B is the most sold engine in the world. So the cool thing about it is that on just a simple iPad, right, can visualize something that can, if you want to really visualize it in using the book only, a lot of pages.
Yeah.
And even if you're going to go through all these pages, you're only going to see section views, like a section view of certain parts. Yeah.
Blueprint.
Yeah, exactly. Like you can't do this in a book, right? You can't split it up into pieces. You can't open it up. Look how I can go inside and look at the gears.
Mm.
Yeah. How the exile gear.
How they call it, slice?
Slice, yeah. We call it section view or slice view. This is called explode view. You can split it up into pieces. Yeah, you can look at the names of each component. This is the radial drive, right? So and you got the accessory gearbox, for example. You can see how the radial drive comes out of it as well.
Can we project same, let's say, on the table?
Yeah, let's do it. So basically, let's do it on that table, right?
Yeah.
Let's do it. All right. So here we have an engine. I'll come from your side as well.
Yeah.
So right here, we have a large-scale engine that I can walk around right now. Can you see this? Yeah? Yeah.
All right. So basically, iPad becomes like my glasses.
If you want to go in depth, you just go yourself.
Okay. No, you're not scaling.
Yeah, you go there. You can scale it as well. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah? It's pretty cool, huh?
So who's using it right now?
Yeah, so this kind of use case, it's in the training centers at aerospace companies, airlines, and also at in the colleges as well.
What will be the scale when I come to the actual engine and I need to work and you can start planning or understanding, okay, I need a ladder or I need, I don't know, something cherry picker to bring me up if I want to check these elements.
Yeah, if you think about it, right? So let's say we're in an aerospace workshop. Right, in one of the airlines or in the colleges,
like actual.
Yeah, and then I want to explain to you. For example, I want to show you the real system. I want to show you the combustion chamber, the real combustion chamber, like the big size. We need a chair. We need the engine to be cut or open, and then I need to show you that thing. But let's say we want to play around with it. Let's say I want to open that combustion chamber and actually pull out that fuel nozzle for you, and so on. There's a lot of work. There's mechanical work that I got to do, right? But it's fine. At the end, we have to do it. But the question is, can we do this anytime, anywhere, and just play around with no risk? That's where the cool thing of this technology comes in.
Yeah.
But this is something pretty important because some companies, especially in the mixed reality space and VR space, they do not succeed in commercializing this technology with companies. And the reason they do not succeed is because when they pitch it as a replacement to the training, which is not correct.
Yeah.
This technology will not replace the current methodology and tactics and training. It will enhance and it will be something on the side that you can do. But in aerospace, there are standards, there are proper ways of training and hours that will have
safety
to
safety measures.
Yeah, that will have to be done in all the same way. But this can be something as a bonus in addition in the theory classes and education and colleges and training as a bonus. One of the cool things and one of the things we love about being here in Sharjah Research Technology Park is that we can leverage high quality R&D facilities, right? And one of our projects, for example, we had to do something, build a mixed reality software for an airport system.
Can I interrupt you and ask? So you said now mixed reality.
Yeah.
That was AR, augmented reality.
Yeah.
Now you're mentioning mixed reality.
Yeah. So the mixed reality is the glasses that we used.
Glasses,
right?
Okay.
Is the Microsoft HoloLens. But when they call it mixed, is because there's a hologram effect, and also in addition to that, it tracks your hands, and you can use your hands as well.
Got it.
So technically, anything that gives you some kind of a interaction with the actual thing that is floating in front of you in a hologram in an augmented reality. Method is mixed reality.
So did I understand it right? Augmented reality, you're not controlling that much. You just...
Yeah, so here's the thing, right? So basically, if you look at Apple recent announcement, WWDC, right? So Tim Cook, the first thing he said, well, as you guys know, augmented reality is one of the latest technologies. So he pitched his glasses, the glasses, as a augmented reality glasses. And then the term mixed reality comes in is when you mix it with the, of course, environment, and also mix it with certain live things, like, for example, your hands, or using some stuff. So they're very similar. So in terms of the hardware works and how the content gets displayed, but they call it mixed because you're mixing it with interactions that you're doing, like your hands tracking and stuff like that.
Okay. Sorry, I interrupted you. You were telling about
content. So no problem. So it was a big airport system that we had to calibrate our software on. So instead of going getting access to the airport and calibrating the our software in the airport space, it's a hectic thing. And you got to go there and then every single time do the testing and security measures and all that stuff. What can we do to program our software on that actual system without having that system there? So we have the 3D data and all that stuff. But as a bonus, right, we 3D printed the system in our facility. Mm-hmm. So we actually use these printers, the Ultimaker ones, and we have bigger ones downstairs now. And we printed the system, basically, as you can see.
Ah.
Yeah. So we printed this here.
Nice light.
Yeah.
Feels light, yeah.
Yeah. The cover was separate.
We did one episode with Prota 21.
Yeah.
About these guys as
with
well.
With Arkham.
Arkham as well.
Awesome dude. Pretty awesome guy. Yeah. He also visited us here.
You've seen it. He visited it.
Yeah. He's a very knowledgeable person. I like the guy.
And you've seen it.
Yeah. So basically, so what we did at that time. So by the way, at that time, we did this project roughly a year ago. Mm-hmm. So a year ago, we wanted to 3D print the system. I didn't even know about Project 21. I was like searching online, 3D printing facilities, whatever, and all that stuff. And I started asking them about how much time and cost it will take, just to get an idea of how the thing works. Because at that time, we didn't 3D print much. So all of them gave us very long time frames. minimum 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks. And the costs were in the tens of thousands.
You mean to prepare something like this?
Yeah, and the cost was in the tens of thousands. It was pretty expensive. So yeah, so this is when we decided, you know what? We better learn how to do this ourselves. If we want to 3D print something to, you know, everything will stay with us, the data, everything's safe. And also we can, you know, like do it all in-house.
And you mentioned you need to program it. You need to kind of adapt it. What does it mean?
Yeah, so basically we can technically do it all virtually. We can technically drop all the arrows virtually and everything virtually. And then later on when we go to the real thing and then just rearrange it a bit. But when you want to pitch a new concept, right, a new technology, especially to a first-time client, you want to make things as much as possible visual and actual physical, you can feel it, and also portable. You can take it with you to you know to show it to the guys, the guys in the top, the managers. So we actually we're able to take this to different areas and wherever their location is and tell you, hey guys, listen. So this is how we programmed it. This is how things
put the glasses, try
experience. Yeah, exactly, yeah. So there's no need for us to meet up at the airport and or at the training center. It's fine, we got this and we got the glasses.
And can we use for the same, let's say for this model, iPad and also get the same arrows on?
Okay. Indeed, yeah, indeed.
Awesome.
Yeah, nevertheless, you know, the cool thing about the glasses is that your hands are free. So you can actually do the steps
that
you're
instructed. Yeah, you need to
hold the iPad, yeah. Yeah, you can do the steps that you're instructed to do.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Sounds really good.
Yeah, that's a use case in engineering, training and maintenance as well. Yeah. So yeah, so this is the part where we 3D printed some things. And then, of course, everything starts from designing the raw data, right? Mm. We're talking about 3D modeling and stuff. So Mohammed here, he has his 3D. So he's not actually designing something now, but we're showing you how the 3D modeling works. So basically, so right here, what he has on his laptop, he's got 3D modeling software open, and then that's where we start. That's how things start. You know, either we'll design the data, or we get the data, and then we have to render it.
So you mean the data of actual 3D model?
3D model, yeah. So this is basically where we also excel at.
Yeah.
And we do it much faster than the majority of the people in the industry. That's one of our competitive advantages. We have our own unique like kind of recipe that we have that can get us from having a 3D engineering model into having an optimized engineering model that can get dropped on mixed reality and AR in a very fast time. Yeah, and we actually have some numbers around that. We can chat about it later as well.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
I was reading you did kind of a background in jewelry?
Yeah. So so basically, when I was young, back in college.
Was young,
yeah.
Like you old now.
Yeah, so I was back in, I was still in school at that time. So I had a friend of mine, his father had a jewelry shop, so I used to hang out with them. Then it turned out that they also want to learn a bit of English. My English was a bit better. So so I went there to teach them English, and then also they had they used to play football. I used to play football with them end of the day, at like around after Maghrib, like that. And then with time, slowly, they started to teach me some stuff, how they do work.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then when customers used to come to the shop, I used to see how they speak to them. And then I used to teach them some English, how to, I know, tell them this word, say that word.
Yeah.
And then I started working with them for a while.
So what you did, like?
Yeah. So I sales, I just sell.
Oh, you sales, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sell stuff. So I learned all about diamonds, gold, 24 carat, 18 carat, different type of diamonds.
Okay.
Yeah. All that stuff.
High-level customers, you know, and everything.
Yeah, exactly. And it's one of the most important parts, because if you think about it, you have majority of people that study engineering, right? They learn a lot about engineering systems, about technical stuff, but very rarely do they learn sales.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And learning sales is actually pretty important. So understanding how to sell something, it's not just about sales in terms of, okay, I'm selling you and then I'm getting money in return or I'm selling your product. No, it's also about passing ideas along, selling concepts, selling visions, all of that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so that's where your kind of entrepreneurship, sales skills started
in
jewelry shop.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Yeah, since that time.
And it's a detailed job, yeah? Yeah. AR engineering.
Yeah.
Are you the sales guy, business developer?
Yeah. Starting in the beginning, it's you, the co-founder, and then the first guys. You always have to learn and do a lot of the stuff, right? So we all have to, technically, when we started out, we do the engineering stuff, we do the modeling, we do the sales, we do everything. We try to help out each other and everything.
Are you started alone or straight away?
So in the beginning, in the idea stage, back in 2019, so at that time I was in the UAE, and my co-founder Yasser was in New Zealand at that time. So that's when I joined Chara, and the Chara helped me make it into a business plan. But at that time, I was always telling Yasser about it and how things worked out. And then,
and how do you know him? He's in New Zealand.
So we're cousins. Yeah.
Okay.
So and also, I remember even Mohammed as well. So we're all family. We have other team members. They're not relatives, but of course I consider them part of the family as well.
Yeah.
But they joined us later.
Yasser's his brother.
Yeah, Yasser's older brother, exactly. My cousins Yasser and Mohammed, since we were kids, we also used to do a lot of projects together. At the home, we used to gather my uncle's house to do stuff. So we're always used to working on things together. Yeah, even during college time. Yeah, multiple times, even during college, they used to come to my college and they used to see what I'm working on and they used to help out or even give me advice on stuff. And same thing, I used to see what they used to do in their college and just chat about things. So this is how things started. Since we were young, we used to work on things together. So they were in New Zealand back then. And then after things became to business plan and turned into, you know, like we saw there's value, we need to work on this. Later, Mohammed came and Yasser came as well.
Mm-hmm.
So technically the founders of AR Engineering is me, Yasser and Mohammed as well. All three of us, basically, we started out from the early stages, worked together, make things into, you know, from an idea into business plan, into concept, into actually making the first prototypes and so on. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So tell me when you actually landed maybe first project, or you did prototype for free and then maybe pitched someone?
Just a couple months before COVID.
There is no story without the COVID.
it was devastating because when we started out, I wanted to do something to visualize the system, airspace system. It was a turbine jet engine. So with a turbine jet engine, it's something very catered to aerospace engineering, and it was an aircraft engine. And when COVID came, all the aerospace industry went to stop. Right, like nothing, like
grounders.
There's no airline, nothing. Nothing was going on. Everybody was, and people were getting laid off big time in the aerospace industry at that time. Very, very tough time on the aerospace sector. So majority of our discussions, majority of our people that were interested in using our solution at that time, all those discussions went on hold for a while. And it gave us some time to innovate, gave us some time to do more R&D. And in fact, it was technically a phase that was both, you know, hard on us, but it was also a good test for us. And it also pushed us to innovate even more. Interesting thing is that during that time, we figured out a lot of our problems, a lot of our like things that take us, that needs improvement.
Mm-hmm.
Because we thought that we actually knew the perfect recipe on how to make this product. But we didn't. At that time, when we were COVID, all of us are locked down, and we tried to actually make our first, for example, prototype. We found out that we're really short in knowledge and very, very serious. Right? There's so many things we didn't know. So we spent that time learning, networking. Even all the conferences went online. Everything was online. We actually met a lot of people all around the world that do these kind of things, and learned from the best. We started learning ourselves, you know, how to do stuff. Interestingly, during COVID, during the worst times of the pandemic, we actually did stuff for the medical sector as well. One of the hospitals in the region, basically they train people how to use a blood sampling machine. It's a certain number of procedures, right? Procedure steps. And typically how they teach them in a class and then PowerPoint, which is fine, no problem with that. And then after that, they take them to actual practice. But here's the thing. When you're in a situation where now there's no more close, you know, contact, or you're in COVID, and then you need to hire or train a lot of people in a short period of time, that traditional method doesn't work anymore, right? And also you need to really train them fast because, you know, you need to get them to work. The demand was very high on hospitals. So we animated the process, the 3D, the same way you saw how the engine splits up into pieces,
yeah.
how things are, the steps are animated, the same thing with the medical system. step by step. Each step is visualized and animated. You can just start using it from the iPad right away. You don't necessarily need to wear glasses, but the glasses was a bonus as well that we gave to them later on. The medical was one of the first that was actually given to the actual, that was actually shown to the students and for example, use case, and the actual industry in terms of implementing it for something really, really real, need, like right now.
Real case.
A real case, like right now, that is needed. But of course, there are stages to it. But in the aerospace sector, because of COVID, what happened at that time, whatever we did was for academia. So whatever we did at that time was, I gave it to professors and students. So those were our first users in the aerospace side.
What do you mean you give it? Are you like just, hey, I created that, use it? Or like,
man, I had to do that. We had to do that. Because, you know, this comes to one of the challenges. When you open a startup, right? When you open a business, you're still new to the market. You got a new solution. You have something that people are not familiar with, right? So it takes time to not just give it to them, but also convince them that there is value in it and they need to pay you X number of dirhams or dollars for this value they're providing. So, okay, so what are you going to do, right? So how are you going to convince them? Are you going to just show them this stuff and tell them, hey, listen, I'm not going to give it to you or give you access until you pay me?
Yeah.
You can't do that. No. So you need them to get used to it. You need them to understand the concept. You need to educate the industry, the people, whoever you want to pitch on the value of the solution.
Yeah.
So yeah, when we started out, that's what I did, right? Whatever things we built, right? We actually gave it to the instructors, we gave it to the students, and we got the feedback. Yeah, we love this, we don't like this, we hate this, this is not good, this is nice, this is beautiful. Oh, this is nice. Why don't you make this much better? All this feedback that we got through that time. It took a very long time. I mean, during a whole, I believe roughly 2 years, almost 2 years, almost 2.5 years, roughly. 2.5 years was just testing, implementation, and R&D, and going to the market, doing various stuff. Of course, each one of it was a different type of project. I mean, for example, a certain college wanted a certain type of engineering system. One wanted electrical, one wanted mechanical, aerospace. And then you find the synergies between all the colleges as well. And then, so each college, this is a shared need that they have. During that time, because it takes time to close deals and contracts and get work from academic institutions, because the way they work in terms of their budgets, in terms of their procurement process, is way different than corporate side. We actually participated in competitions that we have to compete against other startups to pitch who will better solve a solution for the XYZ company.
Okay, so they have an issue and you guys working on it?
Exactly. So for example, one of the projects was from a company called Thales, a French company. It's actually public. Everybody can read about this. They wanted somebody that can, or a company, that can animate the manual, the process. So they wanted, they had a challenge. They wanted a company to come and animate in a mixed reality step-by-step process for the engineering book. So many companies pitched from the world, around the world, 27 roughly. And then luckily, we were selected, so we won that competition. And then, that was one of our first projects we got that was not just actually, there was a reward for in terms of financial reward, in terms of payments.
Recognition.
But also implementation. I mean, you had to actually implement this with actual engineers that do this on a daily basis. So we learned from them, okay, they tell us this step should be done like this way, visualizing this way. So it's a bit different. It's a bit different from like just labeling a certain model for academic uses. When something is going to be used in the professional side and actual training, it's a different process in terms of how professionals should be clear, concise, organized.
No space for error, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and one of the beautiful things, the engineers that we had to speak to, some of them are like a long time in this industry. And they're in the 60s. Some of them, I believe one of them is in the 70s even. I heard.
Yeah.
So we're working with experts in this domain, and the beautiful thing is that I even saw the people at that age, they were supportive of this kind of technology, which is very rare.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Because they saw the value, and this comes to another point. Why is this technology being adopted? Why is there demand for this kind of technology in the industry? And one of the reasons is because the older generation, the guys with the big experiences, long experiences, they're noticing that. The younger generation are facing problems in learning how to practice, how to train, and especially with complex systems. It's not because they're not good. It's because the methodology of training is not changing with the generations. The young kids these days, they're actually very smart. They can use technology and iPads and
adopt quickly.
They're very, very smart. They're geniuses. But the problem is that the current way of training and the process, That's not catching up with the technology. Then they started looking at mixed reality, augmented reality, 3D animations, making things more visual rather than just text and written. And that's basically where we see the demand coming in the next couple of months and years. Right now, one of the biggest things that made a lot of AR, VR startups, or digital twinning startups enter this space is because of the buzz that, you know, like Microsoft did with the Microsoft HoloLens and also Meta. When Facebook changed its name to Meta, mm-hmm. when that name alone created a big awareness campaign. Basically, everybody's like, what? Meta? What is that? Metaverse? Okay, what is Metaverse? Okay, so there's a lot of these technologies under them. There's AR, there's VR, there's digital twinning, there's whatever, crypto and all that stuff.
So you guys, you are part of, let's say, Metaverse as well somehow?
No.
So we digital twin?
Yeah. Okay, so yeah. So a lot of people try to mix these things. With us, we're pretty professional in what we do, what we say and what we do. Right? So we're very focused on digitizing the books and animating the manual books and the processes.
Okay, that's your focus.
So that's really our focus and things that are good for academia and also training use cases at corporate level. So we're very focused on that domain.
Got it.
Nevertheless, because we leverage the power of augmented reality as a tool and as a visualization tool, some people consider us, hey, okay, so you're an augmented reality company, so you're
you can apply that.
Yeah, so you're also a metaverse company. I said, well, I don't know, man. Like, you want to put us with them? It's your choice. But yeah, but like we don't do stuff in because I mean, metaverse, you got platforms where people build digital twins and models and then they put it there. And technically, if you think about it, so the 3D models that we make, right? They're actually very lightweight. They're optimized for augmented reality uses. They're actually very lightweight. That means later on, let's say a university or a college or institution, they have their own metaverse platform.
And if they want to drop,
they want to put these models there, they'll be compatible.
Right.
So yeah. But from all our projects that we've done previously, that was not something we were specializing in or that we did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some kind of interlink.
Yeah.
But
because they're in technology, there's a lot of linkage, a lot of.
So tell me, synergies. You start talking about the focus.
Yeah.
Tell me more. What are you focusing right now? And which industries are you tackling, maybe?
This technology is very beneficial for entities and institutions that have a lot of people to train, right? That train a lot of people per year. Or have a lot of people to educate. So academic institutions, that really fits them because they educate a lot of people per year.
Yeah.
And then you have big corporates. I'm talking about companies that manufacture stuff, that fix stuff. So those guys, they train per year. And then there's also training institutions that also train for them as well. And people that graduate, they go work at those entities. But in addition to that, you've got, for example, the aircraft manufacturers, right? You've got, you know, companies like Boeing, which we'll talk about in terms of how recently we started working with them. Those people, those entities, those companies, they train a lot of people per year. So.
And is a rotation or something?
Yeah, all of that stuff, right? So they find big value in this. Because if you can really reduce the training time and in the same time retain the quality of training and also retain knowledge higher, that will equate to return on investment. That will equate to money. Time saved equals to money saved, right? Better projects that are executed on time with a better, higher quality, less errors, that also equates to money, right? So for them, that's where they see the value. So for us, we focus on those companies mm-hmm. and those institutions that if we invest our time with them and we perfect some of their processes and they find the biggest value, then that's a perfect combination. Those are the entities we want to work with. We focus on those type of companies where the impact is going to be big. Especially at our scale, you know, as a startup, you're a small team. So you need to put your focus and energy and your small team efforts on something where you get the best possible impact.
Yeah.
So you can, you know, get the best exposure, get the best feedback. When you're going to serve a B2B sector, right? And also even in the academia side, people are different. You got really awesome people, nice people. And also you got people that they're not really open to giving you their full feedback on their experience. So you'll be surprised. You might give him something. You'll see a good impressions, but he won't call you up later on, or he won't answer your calls later, or he won't give you good feedback on whether it works. So you're sitting there, man, what is it? Did I do something wrong? Yeah. Is our solution good, bad? What's going on? And then you find out, no, it's just, that's the situation. There are people that just don't love to give feedback. Or if he saw something negative, he doesn't like to give you the negative feedback. So for us, we don't like that. We want people to actually give us honest feedback, right? If we delivered something and you didn't like it, tell us you didn't like it. It's fine. I mean, we'll improve it. We'll fix it. So right now, for example, the guys in defense, for example, and this is why we love to work in defense, they're very straightforward in the defense sector. if he wants it, he'll say, yes, we want this, this is good, go ahead. This is no, this is wrong, we don't like it, bye-bye. So there's no in-between, right? They're not gonna roam around and so on.
Why do you think like that? Because of regulations, because of the industry?
It's just the nature of people in the sector,
the industry,
right?
Yeah.
If so, in the defense sector, this is the nature of how things work, and they're trained that way, and we love that. Aerospace sector, same thing. In the aerospace sector, and it's very risky, high risk, you know, and there's no room for error. So everything is on a very professional standard, in the same way.
From commercial
space,
side.
Space as well.
From commercial side.
Yeah, space as well.
Oh, yeah, speak about space, because I saw it was...
Yeah.
You won, guys, some kind of competitions in the space?
So they covered us in Wired magazine, one of the space aerospace startups. So space technology because you want to get a space, you got to go through airspace, right? So yeah, obviously. So there are synergies in that domain. So what we did in that domain, we're doing some things in academia. So I told you that we do 3D content that we prepare to give to the academic institutions to help them in the training processes and education. So we developed some models in the airspace sector. Mm-hmm. We did some space systems that are, for example, for the Falcon 9. Falcon 9, the Dragon capsule.
Okay.
So we designed that, and also the rocket and all the stages. The SpaceX Falcon 9.
How do you land these projects?
Yeah, so luckily now a lot of things come through word of mouth. Sales is actually a side where it was never the same since we started. We never had the same process. It was always changing until we found the perfect, you know, like combination of mm-hmm. stuff. It's one of the biggest challenges. I remember during the early beginnings when we still didn't have many projects in the industry. Yeah.
So how do you sustain all that
years,
especially when you need to, let's say, develop and work for free or to build a portfolio?
This is very tough. I mean, for startups, financing and having enough runway, cash runway, is very, very difficult. So basically, we bootstrapped our startup. Almost for 3 years and 3 years and 2 months, 3 years and 3 months, roughly.
Yeah, roughly. Own cash, basically.
Yeah, three years, roughly 3 years or something. And it took us roughly 2 years until we got our first one dirham.
Yeah.
So it took us a long time, yeah. Right? But alhamdulillah, and there's been growth year on year. So what happened, basically, when you have a startup, you got to understand, okay, what skill sets do I have, and what can we do alone, right? And what value can we provide to you know, in building our product from our skill sets? Mm-hmm. And then if there's something missing, we need to acquire it. So we have to always look around us. What tools do we have around us? Who do we know? All right, the ecosystem. So we bootstrapped our startup for roughly two years and something until got our first investment until after 3 years.
Talk for investment.
Yeah. So my father. First angel. So family and friends. That's what they call it. Startup. That's a category they call it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So where you got your first investment? Family and friends. But technically, it's my father. So he supported us through our journey till this day. So this is actually pretty important because if you have family support, right, and you got people that really care about you, that really help you out in your business, right, in your trajectory, it really gives you a good boost,
yeah.
Right, and good support, and especially during the toughest times, right? Where are you going to get financing for starting a startup during COVID?
Yeah,
where?
It's
pretty hard, right? Or yeah, to buy your equipment, to buy the stuff, it's very hard. So family. And then later on, whatever revenue we started getting from our projects, we started to reinvest that as well. Until recently, we joined the latest accelerator by Boeing, Aerospace Accelerator Program. So Boeing is led by Boeing, but they also have other partners like Tawazun Council. They got the Ministry of Defense of UK in it, Etihad Airlines. They've got JKN as well. So they have various partners in that Aerospace Accelerator Program.
Mm-hmm.
So through that program also, they have options where you can apply for safe agreements and safe investment as well.
So talk for the future. What's next? What's upcoming?
Yeah, so if you look at the space, there's a lot of exciting things coming, right? So when you're asking me about the Apple Vision Pro, for example, these kind of things, of course, it's a more consumer-based usage. But here's the thing, right? So it's a consumer-based device that Apple announced. But it's creating a lot of demand in the industry. Something pretty interesting to see. When a big company comes in like Apple and they say, we're into the augmented reality space right now, and we're going to release this, and this is going to be the future you know, of this.
So good time, a lot of now spotlight on you guys as well. Yeah, who's developing all these solutions?
We hope we're going to get all of the spotlight, but we're getting a portion of the spotlight.
Yeah,
so a portion of it. But of course, we're
but everybody, like,
yeah.
I said before, like, whenever you open LinkedIn or any social media, is the AI.
Yeah.
The moment Apple launched, they like announced the vision.
No more AI posts. No more ChatGPT stuff.
That's 3 days.
Yeah.
All the 3 days was like only Apple vision and the content they do. So, you know.
It's crazy.
Let's say right now in the industry, who's the leading in the country or the company in maybe something similar, whatever you guys do?
Yeah. You're talking about, for example, the mixed reality technology or augmented reality technology.
Augmented reality,
yeah. So this space is split into three categories. People that create the hardware. I'm talking about, you know,
like we discussed on
Microsoft,
a table, you like
Apple. Apple, of course, Apple does a lot more than hardware. So you got the hardware part, the mixed reality headsets, the augmented reality. And then you got the content creators. And then you got the software creators. People that build software and people that build content and people that build hardware, right? We fall into between the software and content side. So we do both.
Because on the website I was reading, like, you are a software developer.
Yeah. So we try to do both. So content and software, because a lot of times you have the content, but you need to customize, you need to build your own software to actually match whatever the needs of the client is. So you need to know how to build the software as well, right? And at the same time, a lot of times the software, you already have it. So the client already saw the software. He's like, yeah, I like this software, but I need the content. So we're actually also good in creating the content as well. And when you have both in-house, you can control the quality of the solution. You can control the output quality.
Yeah,
you can actually produce something that is
work together.
Yeah, there's very pristine. Yeah.
Now to use one of your solutions.
Yeah.
What do you need to think? What do you need to think about the process, timing? You told a little bit about timing, finances, and then how they should look at that project.
Yeah, indeed. You know, like a lot of companies, they want to embed a lot of the modern technologies, AI, AR, stuff like that, but they don't know where to start. First of all, you got to look at the way you work in the company. Do you have inefficiencies? Where do you need to improve? Do you have problems? A lot of the time, if you want to know where these are, you have to ask the people. You have to speak with their employees.
So would you guys do that? Would you come in the company, in the corporate?
We actually do this a lot. So basically, we meet with engineers, and then the engineers, they tell us what's going on with their process. So, listen, when we're training those guys, this is how we train them. This is our process. And then this is all going good, but for this part of the curriculum or this part of the training course, there's a lot of difficulties going on here. They're forgetting what's going on. They're doing mistakes. There's errors. There's whatever. So now we found the area. Then, okay. What is going to help out? A augmented reality tool? Maybe just a 3D digital twin solution? And then we try to fit it in. And then we conduct experiments and prototypes until we find the fit. So, yeah, we experiment. We network. We chat with them. We sit down. It's not just, we got a digital twin solution. Let's animate your systems. We find a fit.
Because, it's customized,
We find a fit for it within their needs as well. So they got to look into the companies have to look into what's going on in their processes. Let's say you're a factory, right? And in that factory, you train people, X number of people, let's say 100 people per year. Okay, how do you train them? Well, we got classrooms, we got this. Okay. Is this enough, or are you noticing there is a lot of issues going on? Is there a lot of repetitive testing? Is there a lot of people that are failing the test and coming back? Why are they failing? For example, right? Are the people doing a lot of mistakes? Is there a lot of accidents that happen? And then you take it from there. Okay, we got accidents because they're forgetting some of the things they're taught in training. And when you go look at the training, it's because this something is very complex, but it's not very well delivered in terms of that message.
Yeah.
So that part is worth to be animated, worth to be visualized, worth to put the investment to make it better. And then in return, they're going to notice the return on investment. Less failures, increasing knowledge retention. People are going to be more happier, have more fun in doing their job. This is very important. You need to retain your skilled workforce. Mm-hmm. One of our research study, it was published by DHL, DHL Future Workforce Report, something like that. It says one out of every six of the young generation, the millennials, are leaving their job because they notice that the organization is not innovative enough. One out of every six?
You want to see that?
Yeah, imagine you train six and one of them leaves, right?
Yeah.
You train 60, 10 of them leave. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a waste of money, right? And it's also a waste of time for them. It's because they saw, this job is not very nice. I don't like it. It's very hectic. I'm not learning enough. and not learning the right way. It's very boring. Everything's old.
Yeah.
So the young guys, this makes a big difference mm-hmm. with them. Yeah.
And how, let's say, can you talk about like financially how they should look at what projects can cost? Like give me a range or something.
Yeah. So basically things vary. I mean, you got things that could cost.
Because it's custom.
You got things that go up to 100,000, even millions, right? But we've done a lot of stuff. We've done things in the $5,000. We've done 10, 20, 30, 40. And now some of the things we're talking about are in the hundreds.
Yeah.
We haven't yet reached the million point yet, but hopefully we're going to reach that point. But yeah, so it's a big range. It all depends on the quantity and the amount. I can't really talk about this in detail, but in defense, there's a lot of things that we're working on there in various categories that are also different from aerospace.
Yeah.
Things that also have to do with training and upskilling as well. So when you look at these different sectors in oil and gas, for example, each one of them has a very similar synergetic need, which is they have a big workforce that they need to hire and train, and a lot of them are from the younger generation, and they're noticing that they really need to do something different and upgrade
them
and train them in a different way, and this is the connection that we were able to make between these industries, and we focus on that. And,
okay.
Yeah, and we focus on that.
Cool.
Yeah.
Tell me,
yeah.
The best case scenario, the next 2 to 3 years for AR engineering, what kind of projects it could land, what kind of, like, you I made it?
Yeah, for sure, man. I mean, because we're very passionate about the aerospace industry, that's where we started out. Nevertheless, we're supporting now various industries, but one of the things one of our main aims we want to see is that we will be the go-to company when it comes to actually having an animated digital manual book, for example, or digital, you know, training process. So whoever, whenever company you go to, we look at the training process, they've got our AR engineering solutions there.
Well, you have a vision, you have a goal.
Yeah, so that's our main goal.
So what, 2023, June?
Yeah.
Let's see in a couple of years.
Yeah, hopefully, yes. You'll maybe find our solution and product in the hands of a lot of aerospace engineers, a lot of engineers in the industry. Not just aerospace, to be honest. It could be in another industry, because it's pretty similar in terms of the process, how it's done, in terms of the needs as well. Yeah, we hope so. We'll meet engineers later on after a couple of years. Yeah, I actually used your tool when I was learning. Yeah,
okay.
We have actually used your software. That would be nice.
The best feedback.
Yeah, that would be one of the best feedback. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
My pleasure. It's a lot, boys.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming. Thank you for
coming.
Appreciate it. Thank you for the interview. Take care. Yeah.
Another great episode, great conversation with interesting technology, definitely something to think about and look forward in the future. Me, I'm like a kid. I was so excited when I put the HoloLens. It just gave me such a different perspective, and it's so nice to feel what is possible. And it's this technology exists right now. People are using it. It's maybe not adapted so much in the consumer level, but super, super excited, and it's very interesting. One important thing is for sure, such an Apple announcements with Vision Pro, it helps overall industry because it gives education, gives training, and end of the day, the technology adaptation. So smaller companies or startups, they don't need to do hard work. They can actually now approach the companies, approach the brands, and say, hey, we can do it. And hopefully they are aware about technology. I'm looking forward for more episodes like this. Meet great people, meet startups, and share that knowledge with you. I was super excited. Hope you're excited as well. Do let us know what should we do next, what should we interview. We're always waiting for the recommendations. We're always looking for the feedback, for your comments and engagement. Please participate, let us know, speak with us, approach, and I will see you in the next episode. And by the way, thanks a lot for our producer. She's working very hard, and already this month she booked 3 episodes for us to interview and film. So a lot of things in the production line, going back to the office, working hard, editing, and hopefully share with you soon. Have a nice day.